Okay, we're at chapter 9, chapter 3 of the Jivadharma. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksu Militam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Krishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutare Ayam Rupakadamayam Jadati Satadantikam Anshakalpaturubhyascha Kripashindubhayebhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, greetings from Stuyvesant Falls. They also call it the Sun Falls. And they have a little break up here until the New York Rath Yatra. Jai Gwaiti Swami was here. Nice to get his associations. Satsrup Marge's house. Kishori and daughter Kalindi were here. Sureshwar is coming. It's a real happening place. So we've been following this Jivadharma, this wonderful story, history, novel, whatever perspective. You think. But we're focusing on a setting is a kunj. A kunj is a forest bower on one of the nine islands of Gojrindweep, Navadweep, which is called place of Chaitanya, the island is called Gojrindweep, which is the island which exemplifies the practice of kirtan. There are nine different main items of devotional practices in these nine islands. This is kirtan. And there is a Prem Das or Paramahamsa Babaji. And we're following the story of people coming to Krishna consciousness after the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the next generation. And as I explained before, as people come from different places, whether they're scientists or caste Brahmins or Mayavadis, the philosophy will be systematically presented in terms of Prem Das Babaji's and sometimes his disciples' explanations to these various people that reveal the defects in their conceptions. But first, we've been following Vaishnav Sannyas Thakur, very evolved personalist sannyasi, who gets the bhakti lata beads, the seed of devotional service, from, well, the seed is that conception of bhakti, and that comes from association with the devotee. It's very tangible. It's an attraction of faith, and faith can be transmitted. It's almost like an energy, which if you're receptive to, you can be influenced by. So somehow, even though he was very evolved in his path, personalistic path, when he met a Vaishnava, saw a Vaishnava when he was doing his meditation in Varanasi, nature of his own Sukriti, his own previous karmic background. He was open to it, and it affected him deeply. And according to that thing, you see, he was practicing for so many years, but by the association of a devotee, Sadhusanga, Sadhusanga, Sarvashastra, or Lava Matra, Sadhusanga, Sadhusiri, a short time, if you're receptive, there can be experience of sublimity in bhakti. An experience that will make the maturation of that experience the goal of one's life. And that carries him to this Gojram Dweep, or at the part where he wanted to change his dress from the red cloth of the Mayavadi sannyasi to the beige cloth of the followers of Chaitanya at that time, which was Babaji-ish, white, beyond designation. The color of white could also mean beyond. Man could mean sannyas in vanashram, particular ashram status. White can mean beyond everything, not within the modes. The modes are the means, some conception to enjoy. Beyond that, it's only the lack of a mode of service that embeds us in this world. But if someone becomes a Vaishnava, he's no longer influenced by the world, by the modes of nature, the gunas. He's no longer influenced by that, because they're only following our desire to not be what we are, which is a devotee of Krishna, a particle of something greater. When we have that conception, that fruitive conception, I want to be great. I want to be greatest. I want to be the enjoyer. I want to be the controller. Position which we cannot have by our constitution. The desire of something that is not constitutional can only be fulfilled in illusion. And therefore, the desire not to be a devotee is fulfilled by God's own illusory potency. So, Sannyas Thakur, he is sannyasi, and he wants to take the Paramahamsa Vesh, the Babaji Vesh, the cloth of the beyond Vanashra, the cloth of the pure Vaishnavas. And his guru refuses, and just to establish and reinforce the point and to test the aspirant, that change of dress, change of ashram is not change of consciousness, but rather change of consciousness can be change of ashram. Very often, a teacher has to guard against the misconception in the students that advancement in spiritual life means to renounce. What to renounce? But to renounce externally. Therefore, keep them back in the safe position. But then Sannyas Thakur one day chanting in Navadvipa has an incredible epiphany. He sees the apricot holy place, the place that's manifest unmanifest, but there. Anyone who goes to Vrindavan and goes in the right way and experiences that energy there, they'll understand how much one's perception is affected by consciousness. And if they go in Vrindavan in the right consciousness, how much they'll see. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochana Nasha Vashadaya Bhishula. We'll see through the sound of the eyes of love. Which... So, when he has this epiphany, when he actually has a religious spiritual experience and actually sees what's actually there in the holy place, then his dress is changed. And his guru initiates him. And he's had sufficient sukriti, devotional sukriti. So the other Vaishnavas see him, they say, isn't that Sannyas Thakur? And then he explains that his life has become successful by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. That's the way one advances in spiritual life. And our practice is to attract that mercy by our humility, which is expressed in entreaty or prayer. Where we throw our hands up and we surrender. We give ourselves to God fully. And God sees our heart and he reciprocates. Reciprocates with our desire. Just as he reciprocated with our desire, we don't want to be a devotee. God can reciprocate with our desire. I want to be a devotee. Therefore, spiritual life is focused on the heart, the change of consciousness. Not the change of the external world. It's a change of consciousness. And in our pursuit of the change of consciousness, we may change our external world. Never thinking that a manipulation of our environment is happiness. It may be the facility for happiness, the facility for transformation. So, and the receptacle for that mercy is the humble heart, which is dependent on God. And dependent on God more than just food and shelter is dependent on God for getting God. And that means getting a relationship with God. So he's successful. Because he realizes there's no destinations possible without mercy. Every other spiritual path does worship, even if that's not their goal, because they realize that to be successful, one needs something to come from above. Yet for every path is dependent on bhakti. It is what comes from above is in reciprocation to our love, and that is bhakti. So he says, no destination can't be successful without the dust of the three things, the dust of the feet of a Vaishnava, the water that has washed those feet, and the prasadam of the Vaishnava. So when the Vaishnavas are hearing the humility of Vaishnav Das, who was Sannyas Thakur, they begin to take shelter of him. And the reason they begin to take shelter of him is they feel they can become purified by that relationship. And they begin to quote it. How do you attain bhakti? You attain bhakti only through the service and association of your devotees. And they quote from the Brihat Naradiya Purana, Bhaktistu Bhagavat Bhakta Shrangena Prijayate Shatshanga Papyate Pumbe Supratai Put. Bhakti is waking when one associates with the devotees. An association with the pure devotees is attained only by the accumulation of transcendental pious activities performed over many, many lifetimes. That is the great, that is the culmination of piety, of good karma. Just by performing devotion and serving devotees, so much bhakti sukriti comes into our heart. And when it wells to a certain degree, we find the devotee and we surrender to the devotee. Sukriti. Anyway, Vaishnav sits down. He looks brilliant. The Harinam is in his hand. And now, a Brahmin will come into the assembly who will have the misconception that unless one is born in a Brahmin family, one could not be a Vaishnav. Of course, there's some connection between one's birth and one's qualities, of course. Bhagavad Gita says, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Prashta Vijayate. If one is not complete the practice of yoga, devotional service, then he gets the opportunity to be born in a Suchinam Srimatam, a high-class Brahmin family, Srimatam, an aristocratic family, to continue. So there's some correlation, but it's not an absolute correlation. Ultimately, your social position in society is determined by your qualities and the work you do. That day, a fortunate gentleman was sitting with the Vaishnavas. He had taken birth in an aristocratic Brahmin family and was also a wealthy landlord, a zamindar. He had studied Arabic and Farsi from childhood and had developed a significant reputation in the country. He had courted many of the Islamic royalty and was also expert in group dynamics and political strategy. Although he enjoyed his position and opulence for many years, it had brought him no happiness. At last, he had taken up the practice of Harinam Sankirtan. Position and opulence brings no happiness. When you think that is happiness in itself, rather than some kind of condition of the soul or the mind, often give the example of depression. When the mind is in that mode, it can't even see something as beautiful as pleasurable. So when you follow your lust and you follow your greed and you follow your anger, it immerses one in the material position, and from that comes fear and duality. So now this person has become frustrated and he takes up the path of Hariram Sankirtan. Now, as in childhood, this gentleman had been trained in Indian classical music by some of the most prestigious music masters of Delhi. And because of that training, he had become strong enough to put himself forward as the lead singer during these Nam Sankirtan thing. Now, the Vaishnavas did not like this polished classical style of singing, how he would show off some of his musical artistry during Sankirtan and then look expectantly at others' faces for recognition. So the pure Vaishnavas, they just don't want to hear the mantras. They want to hear the heart, which manifests the mantra. The mantra becomes Krishnized to the extent that we offer it in humility and devotion. And therefore, anyone who has experienced the kirtan of someone who has spiritual love in their heart, and that's what kirtan is, this spiritual love, love for God in the heart. And when it's expressed through the discipline of music, it is called kirtan. Otherwise, it's not kirtan. So if someone is leading kirtan from the platform of ego as a vehicle to attract people to oneself rather than as a vehicle to glorify Krishna, even if one is very, very expert, cultured Vaishnavas will not like to hear. Because you're not just hearing the syllables, you're hearing the devotional energy that's infused in the syllables that manifests Krishna himself. So this very educated and cultured Vaishnava who's trained by the most prestigious masters, he's not appreciated by the Vaishnavas. Even in Prabhupada's movement, ultimately, the Vaishnavas that are most popular are the Vaishnavas who seek no popularity. A lot of people like Madhava's kirtans. I love Madhava's kirtans. But what was his training? The midnight shift for many, many years when there's no one there to give you adulation. How do you chant? You chant only for Krishna, not to impress people, not to entertain. And that created a deep samskara in Madhava's heart, where he's become surrendered to the holy name. And his chanting is thus very, very powerful. But anyway, this wealthy zamindar, landlord, Brahmin. He continued to lead kirtans because of his position. And he gradually began to experience some pleasure in sankirtan. The pleasure of humbling oneself before God, the pleasure of experiencing God. The pleasure of making yourself humble and vulnerable before God. The consciousness that is of love and attracts love. Which is so much different than singing to attract people to one's service and adulation. So after some time, this Vaishnavi came to Godrum to join the kirtan programs of, it's the island of kirtan, comes there. He takes up residence in an ashram with a Vaishnav. And then on this day, he's accompanied by that Vaishnav, and they come to the place of Prem Das Babaji, which is Pajum the Kunj. And he was sitting in the Malati Madhava Mandap, the flower houses. And then he's seeing how the Vaishnavas have humble behavior towards each other, and he heard Sannyas Vaishnava Das's words, but many doubts arose in his mind because he had not yet been thoroughly versed and trained in Sambandhigyan, in Bhakti Shastri. Kind of new to him. So now he raises a question which we will answer today. So he looks at all the Vaishnavas and he says, the Manu Smriti and other Dharma Shastras state that the Brahmin caste is the highest. According to these Shastras, religious rites such as chanting Brahmachi Gayatri and other Vedic mantras at dawn, noon, and sunset are considered to be Nitya Karma for the Brahmins. If these activities are obligatory, why is the Vaishnava opposed to them? There's so many religious rites, and the religious rites, the rituals are not the prime objective of the Vaishnava. Dharmas Manushti Tapum Sabhaksena Katasya Nokariya Yudhiratim Shama Evakim. Dharmas Manushti Tapu Vivaksena Katas Ruchi. Dharmas Manushti Tap. If there's no, the Dharma does not lead to Rati, spiritual love, it's useless. Indirectly, everything within the Vedas is connected to bringing you to the culmination. Ahunam, Janganam Ante, Ganavam Mam Papadyate, Vasudevasam, Samahatma Sadulabha. Rarest soul, he comes to Krishna. The rarest. The culmination, aho bhata svapta chitto griyanya jiva agre varta tanama tupam. Aho bhata svapta chitto jiva agre varta tanama tupam. Varta tanama. One name hanging on the tongue. Properly. You've achieved the perfectional state. So, as the rituals are not the objective, but perhaps a vehicle to achieve an objective, when one takes to the process of pure devotional service, then one will judge which rituals are favorable or not. Tatasya dharmam charanam bhujam hare bhajana pakko tatate yadiyadavya. That even if you give up your dharma, it There's no loss. Shouldn't say disorder if it's not connected. Well, if you make some, not that you just give up Dharma, but you understand the objective of Dharma. And therefore, Dharma becomes secondary to that objective. Therefore, the smarta Brahmins, the caste Brahmins, the rituals of the objective itself . So now this Brahmin naturally asks the questions, why do the Vaishnavas not follow all the rules? Now a little commentary there that Jiva Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining. The Vaishnavas have no taste for argument and debate. Because argument and debate are generally used as a vehicle to increase our control and prestige in the world. That's why you see we're all attached to argument. Even we see how it is. But Vaishnavas are not attached to argument. They're attached to serving Krishna, and if serving Krishna if argument facilitates that, then in the mood of service, they'll do it. But the material tendency for argument and debate, the Vaishnava is very reluctant. Because it's not ego, he's not ego-driven. And most debate, most argument is ego-driven. Either we're trying to justify what we do, what we will do, or justify what we have done, so that we can do things without guilt. But the Vaishnavas don't have this attraction. And therefore, if a question is put by an argumentative Brahmin, they don't reply for fear of becoming embroiled in a battle of words. They have such taste for this devotional service, such taste for surrendering to God. And knowing that the symptom of surrendering to God is the glorification of God, and the method to attain God is the glorification of God, that becomes so much their life, dedication, that they're very cautious to just become distracted to anything else. They don't go on the, fight on the Facebook or the web, so they don't do that. But because they saw that this present questioner was regularly engaged in Namkirtan, even if it wasn't pure, the fact that he was engaged in Namkirtan, they feel though his question should be answered. There may be something more to it. And then they said, we'll be very happy if Paramahamsa Babaji, Prem Das Babaji, same. He answers your question. So the Vaishnavas say, please, Paramahamsa Babaji, please answer his inquiry. And here's the order of the Vaishnavas and Paramahamsa Babaji. He offers a basin and says, oh, great souls, if you so desire, then let this Vaishnavas answer the question. And the Vaishnavas say, Jai. Now, here's this Vaishnavas. He's kind of a new devotee, but not really new. We can't judge people as their seniority just on the time that they join, just on the time they get initiated. You can't determine their seniority like that. Because some people, you just like some people came to the movement 40 years ago, and for the day they joined, they were advanced. And other people, have to work for so many years. So in the same way, people may walk in the door now, they're immediately advanced. More so than people who've been around for many, many, many years. So this Vaishnav Das, he is not an ordinary soul. He's advanced already. And if he's ordered, he does it. But that's why he does it. When you're linked up to Guru, and you're linked up to someone who loves Krishna, and therefore sincerely wants to follow and understand Krishna's desire, acting on their request, is love. It's not ego. So very humbly, Vaishnav Das now, he accedes to the assembled Vaishnavas. But, you know, he can say himself fortunate, but he, you know, he's humble because he's experiencing mercy. Mercy means, mercy is the most beautiful form of love entering into our heart, but it is also announcing you are not qualified. Mercy announces you are not qualified. And in that mood of humility, when mercy comes into the heart, one's heart becomes filled with love. And therefore one loses the desire to become qualified. Just the conception that my effort can get God. He values God in such a degree that actually what you're seeking is not God. So Vaishnav Das, he thinks he's so insignificant and he doesn't think it's appropriate, but he takes the order of his guru on his head. He does it as service. I told you when I first was debating whether I should take disciples, and that was so many years ago, I'm 25, and I consulted Narayan Maharaj, who at that time was an advisor and a friend of ISKCON, didn't have his own disciples, there was no external conflict. He told me, he gave permission, he said, don't think you're guru, do it as a service to your guru. We want to see the world through that mood of service, like Seva Bhav. We see everything as God's energy to be offered to God. So we're constantly in that mood of service. That mood of service is love. And that love is pleasurable. So one feels very insignificant. Vaishnav says he's thinking how, telling how he's drunk this nectar of the words emanating from the lotus faith. It's growing. Now he says, I will remember them and speak them as far as my ability will follow. Immediately. Immediately he's in the mood of prayer. To put himself in a position to be empowered to do something greater than even his own effort can achieve. He says, only my Gurudev's mercy and his words I will repeat. And then he stood up and began to speak, and we're going to finish with that today. We'll read what he says a little bit, maybe 5 minutes. Sri Krishna Chaitanya is the source of all different types of expansions and uppercut. So Sri Chaitanya is full manifestation of God. It doesn't mean other manifestations are not God. just like I'm a person, and I give the example often of a stranger. It's not that I'm not there, but I'm not manifesting. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is directly Krishna, and is the source of everything. Explaining the all-pervading, featureless, nirvishesh-bhama is the effulgence of his limbs. And Paramatma, who resides in the heart of all jivas, is his partial expansion. So he's explaining. Now he's going to answer this story about the Vaishnava and their activities and why they don't strictly follow the rules of the Brahmins. But first, he's putting it in a context. Chaitanya is the source of all different types of expansions and avatars. And he's directly Bhagavan himself. He's full of transcendental bliss. And both Brahman and the jivas are his partial expansions. And therefore, after he says this, this is his introduction. He's not answering the question. He's just glorifying God, glorifying Sri Chaitanya, who he is. And then he begs for that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to please empower me, appear in my mind, and allow me to answer that question. And next class, we'll see what his answer is. Are there any questions? Anyone can say hello today?
Hi, Krishna. My question is, can you repeat the question?
What's that? My question
said,
is, are there any questions?
No, not your question.
The question is, if all these duties are obligatory of a Brahmin, right, why does the Vaishnava not always follow them?
Okay, go ahead.
The things that a Brahmin does every day, a Vaishnava sometimes transcends. We don't follow all the rituals. So they're saying, why not?
Uh-huh.
That we're going to discuss next time. Where are you, Gail?
I'm in an Italian restaurant outdoors. We had a cousin come over from Italy, and we're entertaining her. And Buon Amici is the restaurant, ristorante.
Okay.
She came from Italy. Yeah, I'm being a little antisocial. But she came all the way to an Italian restaurant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're having a really good time here today. Nice.
Right. Okay, good.
Even before, so I can put my full attention to the conference. Stuff my face at home so I could give my full attention to the conference while we're at the restaurant.
What do you do? Do you snuck behind the pizza oven so you can hear the class? I mean, what's going on?
No, I did it right in front of everybody. But I tried to play it off by trying to be social at the same time. There's an art to this, you know, Maharaj.
It's called Raganuga Bhakti. That's what we're going to discuss. You didn't follow any of the rules of social dealing in society. You had a guest. A guest is a Titi Bhagavan, and you completely ignored them.
No, but I made it look like I was paying full attention. You should have seen me, Maharaj, asking her questions and looking like I was paying attention to her. That's why I wouldn't look antisocial, you know.
you're crazy, just joking.
My son uses the same word for me. He says,
we're
two crazy people.
Poor Joseph.
Say again?
No, I'm going to say poor Joseph, right? I'm going to say, I take my wife out to the Italian restaurant. The friends are here, and everyone's there. I'm trying to make her happy, right? And she's on the phone all day with her guru. I don't get any respect. Okay, go back to your family now. Okay?
Yes. Oh, my husband's calling me. Okay, yes. Hi, Christopher.
Okay, thank you. Would anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Manav. This is Nanda Dola. Please accept my humble obeisances.
This is who?
Nanda Dola.
Hey, Nanda Dola. Hare Krishna.
Manav, my question is in the simple. I know the Vaishnavas are not above the Brahmana because you answered that Vaishnavas sometimes they don't follow what the Brahmanas do. The Vaishnavas are transcendental to all the caste system that is being propagated.
Well, I think that's the elaborate subject we're going to discuss in the next class, but
okay.
It's the criteria is one's qualities at work. So it doesn't mean that someone still doesn't have a nature to work, but if they're pure Vaishnava, then all of their dictation is not coming from the modes, even though they may be in a particular mode and have to function under that mode in terms of their work. Their dictation is not coming from there. Ultimately, why they're doing it is not there. They're doing it in a mood of service. So in that sense, it's not that someone automatically is a Vaishnava and therefore he can do Brahminical work, or automatically, they're a Vaishnava, they can do Kshatriya work. No, people have different karma, and they're impelled to work in various ways, but their source of what their work is ultimately not their modes, it's the service of Krishna, and therefore they're offering their work. A little different. We'll discuss it more. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Gordon Bakadas.
Hey, Govardhan. Hare Krishna. Yeah. We have to have another nice program before I leave at your house. Get so many nice people there.
Definitely.
Anybody else like to say hello? Govardhan has a namhat and many, many people come. And he listens to the classes and then he teaches. It's very practical. He can hear all these books, and then when he speaks, then he can kind of like a pastor. So many people come to his house every week. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, a little tired today too. And it's funny, when I'm tired, what happens is I'm giving the class and then some of the thoughts you forget, you have to start again. But that's the class. I was out, I just came back for the class. Okay, Hare Krishna. I should look and do the same. This is the day.